Welcome to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And Cindy, this probably should have been our Halloween program, because this program's all about fear.
Scary food.
Well, fear of food. We're talking a few weeks ago about things that we're talking to guests at tables and restaurants, and you see them react to different things that you talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So I did a little bit of research and looked in Wikipedia, like the whole world seems to do, and learned that 18% of Americans suffer from phobias. And there are specific food-related phobias that we suffer from. And so I was going to read you some of these and let you react to them a little bit.
Okay.
Do you know what acarophobia is?
I have no idea.
Fear of sourness in food.
Okay.
Electrophobia is fear of chicken.
How could you be afraid of chicken?
I don't know. Maybe an informative experience or...
Right.
Maybe
okay. All right. Well, you know, my sister did watch my great Aunt Mary chop the head off of a chicken one time, so that probably could have made her afraid of... I think she was about five, so maybe
As we're live today, I want to read through some of these food phobias to stimulate some folks to call in.
Absolutely.
With stories of food fears mm-hmm. and childhood food issues, or things that if we can help them get over some of those things today.
That would be fun.
And maybe you can give us, you know, at some point a little bit of historical reference on what's changed in the mm-hmm. in the American response to food and
it's
what things
it's been huge over the last 30 years.
Yeah, what things that they used to be scared of and now that they're into and
exactly. Yeah, you know, that'll be fun.
I mean,
to talk
two
about.
Things like that. That's something. Or if you're gonna call in, it's 410-662-8780. Call us and tell us how you were terrified of beets as a child, but now there's a beet salad that you love in such and such a restaurant, or that you're afraid of raw tomatoes from your Aunt Stephanie's, you know, raw tomato salad that you put sugar on, but now you've gotten over it and there's a dish that you make and you want to share a recipe. If you're shy and you don't want to call us, send us an email, foremanwolf@wypr.org. That's foremanwolf at wypr.org. So here's some more of these fears. Bacillophobia, fear of microbes. Bacteriophobia, fear of bacteria.
Sure.
That's a pretty easy one.
And understandable.
Carnophobia.
Uh-oh. Fear of beef?
Fear of meat. Good guess.
Gosh. I can't imagine being afraid of it. I can imagine not eating it because you choose not to, but wow.
So cibophobia, or if you're Italian, cibophobia. Fear of food. All food.
Oh, no. Yeah. I hope there's no one out there that has that.
I cannot properly say this. Canscatalophobia, fear of chopsticks.
Oh, no, yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. These are...
Just a few more. Frigophobia is fear of cold food. Something would put us out of business if the world was infected with gumophobia, fear of taste.
Uh-oh. Well... I have a love of taste. I can't imagine. It's interesting, though, you know?
Electrophobia, fear of fish.
Okay.
Low phobia, fear of poison.
Okay.
That sounds more like someone's personal politics hasn't worked out so much. Less about food. Magercophobia, this would be bad for you. It's fear of cooking.
Yeah.
Mycophobia is, of course, fear of mushrooms.
Okay.
Enophobia would also put us out of business. Fear of wine.
Yeah, we can't have that. I think there should be a love of... Is there such a thing as love of these things? That should be a syndrome.
Well, you can call in and explain your love for certain things that everyone else is scared of. If you love shellfish, then you could help someone who has astrakhanphobia to get over it, which is the fear of shellfish.
Is there a fear of tripe?
No.
There should be. I think that's a real phobia.
I love tripe, though.
Oh, gosh.
I love tripe, though. Maybe we'll get an email or a call about tripe. This fear will kill you. Cetophobia, fear of eating. There's, of course, the perfect life partner for the fear of cold things is the person who's infected with thermophobia, fear of hot things. And the one that would be tough in a field full of sunflowers, xanthophobia, fear of the color yellow.
Okay. All right.
So, and I think we have a first caller, and this reminds me of other people who have had issues with this product. So let's go to Craig in Bel Air. Craig, how are you today?
Hey, great. How are you guys?
Good. So you never used to like olives, huh?
Oh, I mean, when I was a kid, I was a terrible eater. I didn't like anything. And My parents had to struggle with that, and then you know, as I grew, I got to appreciate food, and I consider myself a foodie now. But I got to the point, it was sometime in my 20s, and I just could not stand olives.
What got you over the olives?
You know, we started doing a lot of international travel, and I started to realize that there's entire civilizations for thousands of years based on olives.
So you just intellectually decided to get over yourself.
Yeah, and I just said, this is ridiculous. And so I just forced myself to eat them and eat them and eat them until I loved them. And so now I love olives.
Very
so,
good.
You sound like a very determined man, Craig.
Well, I was in that case anyway.
Is there a favorite olive for you?
I love the Kalamatas. I generally prefer the black olives over the green olives. But
thanks an awful lot for the call.
All right, thanks so much.
Sure. Thanks, Craig.
And we're live today. You can reach us 410-662-8780 or toll-free 866-661-9309. Or email us if you're a bit more shy or wordy at foremanwolf@wypr.org. And so, now you didn't love olives at one time.
I didn't. I'm with him on that when he talks about international travel. You know, I think my mother loved olives, but she would eat the black olives out of the can, you know, from the, you know, in the 70s. And they were, to me, that was just one of the most awful things I'd ever eaten. And, you know, that was, you know, I think that's part of our childhood is these lasting impressions of things that maybe weren't the best product, you know, because in the 60s and 70s, you weren't getting these, you couldn't find Kalamata olives, I'm sure, in the United States. So, you know, you have this wonderful change that we have, you know, all these great fish purveyors, and we're bringing in, we fly things around the world now. And
well, the food awareness, I mean, that's the market, and then population in the United States is much more food aware than they ever were, and much more interested and much more adventurous, it seems like, because they're food television networks, and they're
right,
silly people
true.
Talking about food on the radio all the time. And
well, we have great grocery stores. I mean, there are all these things that we have to our advantage now that, you know, I mean, you went to a basic grocery store back in the day and you weren't going to see Kalamata olives or Niçoise olives or Picheline or whatever, or, you know, you can get truffles at Wegmans, for goodness sake. I mean, that's unheard of. So, you know, I mean, that's such a wonderful change, along with the fact that you can stop at a farmer's stand and get, you know, this brilliant local product. So, you know, what's available to us has greatly changed. I mean, I think that kind of brings us to that whole thought process of how things have changed since the 70s, 80s, or even 1990s.
I was just thinking, are there classifications of food fears? And I think that there are, just listening to the call about olives, makes you think there are probably sort of three big groups, and I'd be interested in if anyone has an opinion otherwise. One, things that are bitter, because as a kid, you're sort of scared of things that are bitter.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like my 8-month-old wants to suck on lemons, like, and make the most hilarious faces in the world, but she loves that, you know, that tart, bright, sour thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think kids kind of are drawn to that. But bitter, that gets to us a lot as kids, I think. So a lot of things that we, like olives, we kind of grow past because we get used to the bitter being balanced with other flavors. And then people get texture. I think that's a cultural thing
sometimes
for people.
Texture is a big complaint that we get about, I don't like raw oysters because I don't like the texture.
Or
so,
I want to cook my fish more because I don't want it to wiggle.
Right. Or right.
You know, or they want the eggs cooked hard or something like that.
Yeah, you're right. Texture is a huge
texture and perception of texture. What's an attractive texture? Because in different cultures, because food fears, a lot of times, the food fears or prejudices are some often culturally based because there's an expectation.
Mm-hmm.
It's an expectation of the right way or the correct way or the safe way.
Well, and the safe way, I think, has a lot to do with why people eat food well done as well.
Yeah.
And that's very cultural and, you know, that's lasting.
There's some products that are more attractive that way and there's some that are not.
Right, right. And that's hundreds and thousands, even, you know, however many years ago when, you know, maybe you might have eaten pork medium and it would have made you sick. But, I mean, we don't have that issue anymore. So you can move forward from that.
And that third thing, the most interesting thing to me sometimes, is the mind. What the mind does. There's a gentleman that I know who I told him we're doing the program this week, and he loves peanuts, and he grew up in Virginia.
Boiled peanuts.
But any kind of peanuts he loves
okay.
as peanuts. But peanut butter, he has an unreasonable fear of peanut butter. And it's I don't know what it is, but it's something conceptual.
Why.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So if you have a food fear that's based on any of those things, whether it's like Craig who got over his olives or some, you know, something bitter like that, if it falls in one of those three groups, whether it's an intellectual fear, a textural fear or something based on something being bitter.
I think boiled peanuts are something a lot of people might be afraid of, actually. If you didn't grow up in the South.
I love those things.
I do too, but they're so different, and they are they're slimy.
Yeah, they're
I mean, it's the exact opposite of a roasted
thing.
Peanut. So
slimy is not an attractive word. No. Chef Wolf, slimy is not an attractive food word.
No, it is not a good word.
No question. So we had an email come in about Brussels sprouts.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who had all kinds of issues with Brussels sprouts.
I think that's a big child issue as well. When you're a kid, you can't stand the way they taste.
But now when we get them in market, when autumn comes, we cannot get enough of them.
Right. We sell a lot of Brussels sprouts. Yeah. That was a food that certainly in the 80s, 90s, even in 2000, no one would order something if it had Brussels sprouts on it. And now people order sides of them because they love them. And
specifically, yeah.
It's so great. That's great. That's progress, you know.
Well, they're expecting. I mean,
and they're good for you.
The changing expectations of the marketplace, what's really kind of interesting about
mm-hmm.
that.
Oh, and they're readily available, you know, and they're fresh. And that's one of the things, you know, the gentleman talking about how he didn't like olives. Again, it's what olives did he used to have when he was a kid? They were probably awful. No wonder he didn't like them. So,
well, olives are fruit from a tree. How many of those black olives are already pitted that are sort of, I think colossal is what they're classified as. How many of those things that are like that actually have flavor, like that are fruity?
Mm-hmm.
When you think of Niçoise olives, you know, they're little and black and they're kind of fruity. They're bitter as well, but it's a balanced thing.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Well, I think olives also have, they affect, you know, again, it's sort of that texture, that bitter thing is affecting your tongue, and all of a sudden you feel almost uncomfortable when you eat something like that. But as he said, get past it and just enjoy it, because really there, nothing's better than a bowl full of olives with your antipasta.
Yeah, no question. Just in learning about Mediterranean food in particular, I mean, because olives are so, you know, that's ring around the Mediterranean like crazy, you sort of find that point of balance on the palate, even in pastry. A lot of times is there. And once you get out of the Mediterranean and move into European traditions or a lot of those that from Western Europe or Northern Europe that came to the U.S. food-wise, that point of balance on the palate is not there. When we come back on Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine, it's more on your food fears and phobias. Give us a call, 410-662-8780.